Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me again the title of our sermon today? Does prayer make any difference? From Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Please follow your sermon outline, especially this morning, as we consider this very important topic that many of us have wrestled with all our lives. Does prayer really make any difference? Have you ever been frustrated by what seems to be unanswered prayer? Ever wondered if God even wants to or has time to listen to your prayers? Ever wondered finally if prayer finally makes any difference at all? Well, our dear Lord answers our questions about prayer by means of two funny parables. They're quite funny. I hope you find the humor in them that I find in Luke chapter 11 and Luke chapter 18. And prayer parable number one can be entitled, The Friend at Midnight. Listen to Luke chapter 11. Then Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at night and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, get lost, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are in bed with me. I can't get up and give you anything. Jesus says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he's a friend, yet because of the man's persistence will he get up and give him as much as he needs. Now, in order to fully appreciate this parable, you have to get a picture in your mind's eye of a typical one-room Palestinian house. Here it is. Typical Palestinian house is made of 2 stories. The first floor was where the family gathered and lived during the day. But at night, the first floor was where they welcomed their animals, their cattle in, to bed down for the evening. And also then there was a second story. At the end of the first story was a ladder up to the second story with sleeping mats, and that's where the family slept at night. And every night when the cattle were inside down below and the people were asleep up above, it was quiet, it was dark, and I imagine it kind of had quite the aroma with the animals down below. But the last thing the owner of the house would do was lock the big wooden door with a heavy crossbeam and go upstairs to be with his family for sleep. Now, soon after this, the entire family is asleep in the loft. The sheep or cattle settle down below. All is dark and smelly. And then at midnight comes this. A knock at the outside door. Who could it be, you say to yourself, at this time of night? Now, gentlemen, imagine getting out of bed, stepping quietly over your sleeping wife, who has just spent 1.5 hours rocking the baby to sleep, walking around the children, going down that ladder that begins to creak. Oh, you remember now, the same ladder your wife has asked you for years to fix. As you try to tiptoe around the cows, your little bare toe stubs against a cold, hard hoof of a cattle, and you're hopping on 1 foot, and you're going to the door. Meanwhile, the person is still banging at the door. And you say through the crack in the door, who's there? And for goodness sakes, what do you want at midnight? And the response outside the door is this. Hey, buddy, a pal of mine's come from out of town. He's hungry. I want to fix him some sandwiches. Could I have 3 loaves of bread? Could you make that rye bread? And then you stand there in silence, gentlemen. But you're steaming mad. And all you can think of is 2 words, at least 2 nice words, and you say, get lost. Then you turn around, determined to go back to sleep, But you're greeted there on the main level with the cattle, three wide-awake little children saying, "Who is that, Daddy? What does he want? Is it morning? Can we get up? What's for breakfast?" And behind the three children stands your wife, giving you that look. And you men know what look I'm talking about. And soon the baby is screaming and crying, and you know now it's your turn to spend a couple of hours putting the baby back to sleep, and the cattle are mooing, the rooster is crowing, the whole household is disrupted, and the guy at the door keeps knocking and asking for bread. What do you do? You have no other choice, as we learned in the children's message, than to give the guy what he wants just to get rid of him. Now we laugh, but then Jesus in the parable asks us, well, what would you do? And certainly we do the same thing. We give him the bread that he asked for. And suddenly Jesus in this parable draws us into a comparison we didn't see coming. If a man would respond because of the stubborn persistence of his neighbor who was a pain in his backside, how much more would God, who loves you and cares for you, and as the scripture says, neither sleeps nor slumbers, answers your prayer when you come to him? Now, we'll come back to that in just a moment. But meanwhile, in today's gospel reading from Luke 18, Jesus has us laughing about another parable. This is the parable of the persistent widow. Listen again to these words. And Jesus told them another parable to the effect they ought to always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who said, "I neither fear God nor respect man." And there also in that city was a widow who kept coming to the judge saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." We meet a dignified judge who's having a hard time keeping his dignity. There's a certain widow in that town who persistently follows him everywhere. We can imagine she's at his door in the morning when he goes to work. She confronts him at lunchtime in the marketplace. She disrupts his court proceedings. She disrupts him when he's having lunch with his colleagues. She's at his doorstep every night when he comes home. And her appeal is always the same. Verse 3, "Judge, give me justice against my adversary." Well, we can imagine in this parable, the judge's friends begin to kid him about his inability to get rid of this pesky widow. He has a reputation in the city as a tough guy. The theme of his life is found in verse 4. "I neither fear God nor respect men." But this judge meets his match in this persistent widow. She's a tough lady who knows her rights, and she won't give up until the judge answers her plea. Now listen to what the judge says about this widow in verse 5. "Because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her what she wants, so she doesn't beat me down with her continual coming." Beat me down. A more literal translation of the Greek phrase is this: so that she won't give me a black eye. Some lady, this widow, a persistent, strong-willed woman, determined, who just won't give up. And the widow got the judge to answer her plea. And now Jesus' second parable ends with a comparison and a question, much like the end of the parable of the persistent friend at midnight. That is this: if this unrighteous judge answers the widow plea just because she was bothering him, how much more will God, the righteous judge who loves us, answer the prayers of his people? In these two parables, Jesus answers three big issues about prayer, three misunderstandings we have about prayer. Notice your sermon outline, please. The first misunderstanding that all of us have is this: we find it hard to pray because we sometimes picture God as a reluctant neighbor or an unjust judge. We say, we feel things like this, God is just too busy for me. I'm not sure if God even cares about me. Does God want to be bothered with my needs in prayer? Well, my friends, these parables tell us, here's the good news. Almighty God does care about us and reaches out to us in His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Today, our Lord Jesus Christ is here and He's speaking to your heart. Look, His nail-pierced hands are placed on your shoulders. His loving eyes meet your eyes and He says to you, I have died and I have risen for you. You are precious to me, my child. I am not a reluctant neighbor or an unjust judge. Come to me with your prayers and needs. My arms are stretched out fully for you. Look at the second mistake we made in your sermon outline. Second mistake is when we think our prayers are really never answered. Why do we think like this? We think like this when we don't get, notice carefully, what we want or when we want it. But a search of the Holy Scripture regarding prayer teaches us this truth. The prayers of God's children. Are you listening this morning? The prayers of God's children are always answered. But God can answer our prayers in one of three ways. He can say to our prayers, yes. He can say to our prayers, no. He can say to our prayers, not yet. And our problem is that when we get any answer but yes and yes right away, we think God has an answer. No, because He loves us, because He knows what's best for us, like a loving parent to a request from a child, sometimes He says yes. Sometimes He says no, and sometimes He says wait, not yet. Even the great apostle Paul learned this truth about prayer. St. Paul, in the book of Corinthians, tells us he had a big problem in his life. It likely was some kind of physical ailment. Paul called it a thorn in my flesh. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12. Paul says, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, and three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest in me. Now listen to these words. Paul says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. To make a long story short, God said no to Paul's request to take away the thorn in the flesh. But God gave Paul something much greater. He gave him His grace and He gave him His strength, what Paul really needed to be the apostle of God. Paul's might and Paul's strength to be the greatest apostle came because he leaned upon God's strength and not his own. That's why Paul could say, when I'm weak, I am really strong. Now, friends, please remember today that as God's beloved children, God will answer your prayers. Sometimes He will say yes. Sometimes He will say no, and sometimes not yet. And what might seem to you to be an unanswered prayer is really God answering you in a way far better than you could ever imagine. Our last misunderstanding, look at the third misunderstanding. We also are mistaken about prayer if we reason this. Hey, since God already knows what I want before I say it, why even bother praying about it? Why do we pray? Because what God wants to give to us something much more precious than just an answer to a need. He wants to do more than just fill our shopping list full of requests. He wants to give us the best gift of all, the gift of Himself. In prayer, God draws near to us. In prayer, God gives himself to us. In prayer, we know anew his presence and his strength. And God delights, do you hear me? God delights in giving us what we need the most, the gift of his sure presence. Not just an answer to a request. In Genesis chapter 3, in the beginning of the Bible, we meet Adam and Eve, who are hiding from God in shame because of their sin. But God comes to them to give them what they really need, the forgiveness of sins and the gift of himself. He says to Adam and Eve, who are hiding, "Where are you?" In Luke chapter 15, we meet a runaway boy who's been called the prodigal son. The prodigal son has run away from his father and is really messed up. But the father in this parable is a symbol of our dear heavenly father. And the father sees him in a distance. Before the boy can even come home, the father runs down the path to bring his boy home, to throw his arms around him, to hug his neck, to kiss him, to welcome him home. And the father gives that boy what he really needs. Not just the goodies and inheritance that are waiting for him at home, but the love and sure presence of his father. Do you see the pattern in Holy Scripture? God gives us in prayer what we really need, the gift of a father's love, the gift of himself. As we get to the end of the sermon, notice the last point in your sermon outline. Besides all these things we've been talking about, here's some good news. Are you ready for some good news? The scripture tells us that when we just don't know what to pray for, when we just can't find the words to pray, God the Holy Spirit and God the Son are praying for us. Listen to what Romans 8:26 says. The Spirit of God helps us in our weakness. Sometimes we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit prays for us with groans that words cannot express. And in Romans 8:34, Christ Jesus, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for us. My friends, read it with me one more time, will you? Does prayer make any difference? Yes, it does. And in summary, let's finish these four key points. Number one, as we pray, we learn that God is not like a reluctant neighbor or an unrighteous judge. He wants to hear the prayers of his beloved children. Secondly, as we pray, we learn that God does answer all of our prayers. But because he knows what's best, he can say yes or no or not yet. And thirdly, as we pray, we learn that God wants to give us more than just an answer. He wants to give us something better, the gift of himself as he draws us close to his heart. And there we will receive what Paul says, the peace that passes all understanding. And finally, take great comfort in this. When those times come and we just can't find the words to pray, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are praying for us, bringing our needs to the people, to God in heaven. People of God, let us pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.